Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good To Be Social. And today we're going to be talking about, it's all about relationships, techniques to establish and deepen client relationships in order to grow business. Our guest today is Rebecca Edwards. Rebecca is a legal marketing veteran with more than 15 years of experience helping lawyers build their business and increase their brand. Rebecca currently serves as the Senior Marketing and Business Development Manager for Williams Mahlon, focusing on growth for both the corporate and tax sections, as well as attorney training and client service programs. Rebecca has been a long-standing volunteer of the Legal Marketing Association, and currently she serves as the co-chair of the Strategies and Voices Editorial Committee. And prior positions within LMA include serve on the Mid-Atlantic Region Board of Directors, and she was the Virginia's chapter president. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. It is such a pleasure. So before we dive into the topic, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you end up getting into legal marketing?
Sure. So I was working here in Richmond, Virginia, and I was actually thinking about relocating to like New York City and living that dream after college. And I got a call from a staffing firm who was looking for someone to help a small law firm plan their 50th anniversary party, a one-month contract. That's it. And I said, well, I don't have a job yet. I might as well do this. And so I did it. As soon as I got there, the marketing manager of that firm said, you know, actually, I really want somebody full-time and you're great. And would you consider coming on? And so what happened? And then I ended up, you know, working there, and that person was involved in LMA. And so she got me involved in LMA. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And 15 years later, here I am.
That's a great story. All right. So let's dive a little bit into the topic. You know, what do you think is the most important tactic that attorneys could implement in order to grow their business?
That's a good question. You know, I think that attorneys, we all know that attorneys are busy people, so it's hard to get them to focus on marketing and business development when they're trying to balance everything else. But I think reminding them that truly at the heart of it, business development is all about relationships. So if they can take the time to put together a business plan, you know, it's a once a year thing, that's really going to lay the groundwork for success throughout the rest of the year. So I think that if I was giving somebody one tip, it would be just to sit down and think through how you want your year to go and focusing on that business plan.
I love it. And you're right. You know, it's all about relationships. And I find a lot of times that, you know, attorneys don't invest enough in the relationship or really get to understand the client, the business of the client, and what their needs are. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see on every single client service survey that the number one thing that clients want from their attorneys is for them to have an understanding of their business. And obviously that's from the client perspective, but then we also know internally that there's no way to truly grow business from a client, a current client, if you don't understand their business, if you don't understand the risk that they're facing and how your fellow attorneys and other service areas can, you know, help them, you know, mitigate those concerns.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So you mentioned a business plan, and I agree. I think it's a really important thing because if you don't plan, then how do you, you know, execute on something, right?
Exactly.
It just makes common sense. What are the kinds of things that an attorney should include in their business plan?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of templates out there. And so anybody who's listening to this podcast can Google business plan templates, business development templates, marketing templates. You know, it's all out there. But, you know, at the core of it, we want to make sure that their attorney's current clients are on that list, attorney prospects, referral sources are on that list, as well as, you know, places where they're serving in a leadership capacity, and whether that's in a bar association, in an industry association, even in a community organization, outlining all of those places where they're putting their time and effort and figuring out how to leverage the connections that they have within those organizations. I will say that attorneys, when they have this idea of a business plan, it's kind of scary in the sense that it's all of this blank space and we're like, print your clients and print your prospects and print your name and referral sources. And some of them are like, I don't know what to put here. And I think that, you know, our value from a marketing and business development professional within a law firm is just helping them take bites out of those things and make it as easy as possible. You know, we have a lot of access to information that can inform their business plan, things like attorneys' hours reports, and that helps us identify who their top clients were from that year. And so writing those client names down to help them think through which people at those clients they need to have on their list. As for prospects, you know, that might have to come more from them. If they have a few ideas of companies they've heard of, or, you know, if they have, they know of other clients within the law firm that they want to do work for, or they think they'd be a good fit for, you know, that's technically a prospect for that person. And so I think putting that information in there is a good idea.
That's excellent. And, you know, obviously a lot of times lawyers need help with putting together their business plans. You know, as a business development professional, what advice would you give other BD people at law firms to help their lawyers with putting together their business plan?
I think that, you know, with what I was just referencing about pulling the data that you have at your fingertips to share with them is always a good starting point. You know, whether that's who they're doing work for, you know, looking at financials, looking at who may have come to events that they spoke at. Pulling as much information together as possible is key. I would say that if you have time to really sit down with this person and coach them and informing that business plan, helping them define their ideal client profile, again, that's something that they think is very scary. But really, you know, it's just saying, who is your ideal client? Are they CEOs? Are they general counsel? Are they HR professionals? Are they in a particular industry? Are you typically working with public companies, private companies, et cetera? And I think that, you know, thinking through all of that helps to generate ideas of individuals, people they know, people they may not know, that could be added to their business plan.
I love that. And I love thinking about your ICP, your ideal client profile. You know, one of the things I've found is a lot of times lawyers will go through that process of identifying who their ideal client profile is. But the one thing they forget to consider is you may want to go after these types of people with these types of titles or industries, but are you a good match from the type of firm you are, the type of lawyer that you are, your practice specialty, the way you actually handle things? So I think it's a two-way equation, right? It's who you want to target, but also, do you have the value proposition internally to really be able to provide as much value to those types of people? Do you agree with that?
100%. And I think that's the role that we play, is kind of keeping things realistic and saying, okay, well, sure, you want to work for Google, but do we have connections there? Do we have the types of services that that company is going to want, is going to need? And so I think that you're exactly right with making sure that the goals are realistic and obtainable.
Got it. I agree. All right. So let's say now we built the business plan, and now the next step is building a sales pipeline. Sales, the dirty word in law firms. but tell us a little bit, how do you go about building a pipeline? What and who should we consider when creating a sales pipeline?
Totally agree that it's definitely a dirty word within law firms, but it is exactly, you know, what it sets out to be. If you put together this list of contacts and relationships that you have, you know, fingers crossed it's going to lead to legal sales and more business for your firm and in your pocket. One of the things that I recommend to my attorneys is just taking a beat, whether it's over coffee in the morning or over whiskey at night, and thinking through who they know and just making kind of a running list of current clients, prospects, and referral sources, like on a legal pad with a pen, and just, you know, taking that time to really do a data dump, I think is a really good use of time. So I'll just say that offhand. So if any attorneys are listening, please just take that time to do that data dump. I think that, you know, that's a good vibe for brainstorming. But when you're thinking about who should be on that list, you know, it's going to be your current clients. And I think it's important to say that that includes the individuals that are actively sending you work, as well as those who are your champions within the organization. I think that sometimes folks just think about who's directing the work in the immediate, but not necessarily who has been the person who has said, you need to go to Sam because he's fantastic, who may be the, you know, a board member or the CEO or, you know, somebody else. So I think that's important. I would also say that prospects are clearly someone that needs to be in that pipeline. And, you know, prospects in this case to me is anyone who, you know, who could send you work in the future. Creating that ideal client profile that we just talked about, that's going to inform who could be some prospects. And that's folks that the marketing department can research for you. But attorneys shouldn't forget the people that they went to law school with, the people that, you know, coach their kids' soccer team, or, you know, an alum that recently went in-house. All of those folks are important and would qualify as prospects. One other thing that I like to do is go into LinkedIn and search for second and third degree connections of people that I know, especially if you're going there and search for a particular type of industry, or maybe it's, you know, your law school or things like that. You can unearth a lot of prospects that way.
And then what about referral sources?
You know, referral sources are really interesting because they can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So when we're talking about referral sources, I came from a larger firm where most of the work came from big clients that were top year after year that we did a lot of like portfolio work for, or, you know, big matters. And so we were always focused on growing the client relationship. And so when I came to my firm now, which is more of a mid-sized regional firm, a lot of time and effort went into cultivating referral sources. And for them, that means accountants, investment bankers, other types of financial advisors who do work for the clients that we want to have or have done some of the work on the deals that we're already doing. And so it's incredibly mindful to keep track of who you've worked with on different types of deals and try to maintain those relationships moving forward. And the last thing I would throw out about referral sources in this case is thinking about those like super connector people, like the people in your network that just know everybody, and making sure that they're on your list because you never know who they may know that might have a legal need.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook.
I love those types of people. I call them the fixers. They know everyone and they can connect you with anyone. So one of the things I've found, Rebecca, is that a lot of times attorneys are, I don't want to say afraid, but maybe not 100% comfortable in asking for referrals. What would you say to attorneys that feel that way? What have you done at your firms that you work with to help attorneys get over this hesitation, if you will?
Right. You know, I think that it's 100% understandable to have a little trepidation around this. I think that attorneys are a little reticent to ask for anything above and beyond, you know, their fee. You know, they're like, we're already asking them to pay $300,000 for this, so I don't know if I can ask them for anything else, which is understandable. But, you know, the things I tell my attorneys are, you know, are you good at your job? Are you a good lawyer? And I'm hoping that they all say yes. And then once they say yes to that, it's fingers crossed. You know, did you do a good job for this client? Yes. Okay, so you have both of these things going to a situation so you can feel confident in asking them for a referral because you did a good work for them and you know that they know that you're good at your job. So, you know, it's really low-hanging fruit out there for attorneys to ask their current clients for referrals for other folks that they know who may need their legal services. I think timing is really key for that kind of thing. Of course, if you just favorably concluded a matter or you just closed a deal, maybe giving it a week or so and then reaching out and saying, hey, I'm so glad that we were able to finalize this or, you know, conclude this favorably or, you know, whatever, your marketing department can provide language for you. And then just say, do you know anybody else who might be in your position or, you know, might need a deal lawyer or a litigator or something like that? It doesn't cost anything to just make the ask, and then you just never know what kind of, you know, response you're going to get. And so, you know, you could do it at that time, but if you have a contact that you just have a really good relationship with that maybe you've done, you know, work for in the past or, you know, last year or something like that, it's not too late to just say, hey, you know, do you know anybody that could, that I could help? And the same goes for super connectors. And I think that folks would be surprised how many people those clients or referral sources could think of, you know, just off the top of their head.
Those are great, great pieces of advice. And I agree. I mean, I think just, it's just as simply as asking, you know, about who else might benefit from the work I do. And that could get you a long way for sure. So one of the things you mentioned before is LinkedIn and, you know, how you recommend it to attorneys to go through their second and third degree connections to see who do you want to add into that sales pipeline. You know, LinkedIn is a great way to connect with new people as well as to reconnect with contacts that are, you know, already a part of your network. And then in addition, it's a great way to build your personal brand by demonstrating your knowledge, demonstrating your experience. You know, for attorneys that aren't sure how to get started with LinkedIn, or maybe they're using it, but they're not really using it the right way, what are your suggestions? How do you help your lawyers maximize their use of LinkedIn?
So I teach this LinkedIn program at my firm, and I truly believe in the power of LinkedIn. In a world where we aren't seeing people as much face-to-face, I really think that, you know, the platform is a great tool to do exactly what you just said, build your brand and maintain and grow relationships. To get started, at the minimum, attorneys need to make sure their profile is up to date. That is just, you know,
absolutely,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Like, period. Yep. Do they have a photo? Does their photo still look like them? You know, don't be afraid to push back and say, you know, I don't know if your hair is still that color.
Or you have that much hair left.
Or you have that much hair. I definitely have had some spirited conversations with attorneys about that kind of thing. But then, you know, just making sure your headline says something that is actually descriptive of what you do. Saying partner at X firm tells me nothing. That could be an accounting firm. Like, who knows what kind of, you know, a bunch of last names together are? You know, we don't know. So, you know, experience. Litigator solving complex business disputes. That says a lot more to me than partner at X. So, you know, making sure that something is descriptive, because when they come to your LinkedIn profile, they see your picture, they see your headline, and they also see that banner image in the back. So making sure that that is populated with something instead of just that gray box gives you this kind of look of a complete profile right out of the gate. I think that, you know, making sure their attorney, like their bios are up to date and things like that are, you know, the about section is also very important. But yeah, just making sure it's complete, because people are really using LinkedIn for, like, as a credentialing tool to make sure that, you know, you are legit and, you know, it's something that they look at in addition to your bio.
Absolutely. And one of the important things about the headline all the things you said make a lot of sense and are true. The other thing to think about is, you know, the LinkedIn algorithm. When someone does a search, the first place the algorithm looks to is your headline. So if all you have is partner at law firm ABC, unless someone is doing a search for partner or law firm ABC, you're not coming up. If on the other hand, as you mentioned, you have words like experience litigation or litigating complex matters, when someone does a search for that, your profile is more likely to show up. So you're 100% correct with that.
That's good info.
What else about LinkedIn should they be thinking about beyond the profile? What other tips do you have for them?
Well, going back to the referral piece we talked about a little while ago, you know, LinkedIn is a great place to dig for prospective clients. If you've identified a good referral source, like we just discussed earlier, someone you know you've done work for in the past, you know, check out who they know on LinkedIn. Are there any people on that list that you'd like to meet? That way, when you reach out to them for a referral, you can arm them with a handful of ideas to share. You know, just like with attorneys now, you know, I know that I'm going to get a lot more feedback and a more immediate response if I send an attorney a draft of something versus a blank sheet of paper. So I imagine that if you are, you know, reaching out to a referral source and saying, you know, I'd love to meet, you know, Jack and Jane and Sam, you know, what do you think? And then the client has a chance to say, oh, yeah, you know, Jack would be good, but maybe not Jane. And, you know, instead of Sam, maybe Tom. You know, it gives them something to bounce thoughts off of. And so I think not forgetting about using LinkedIn for prospecting is really important, too. Easy. It's already on there.
Yeah, I agree. What about content? What type of content should your lawyers be sharing on LinkedIn?
Obviously, this algorithm is tricky and it's always changing. And so advice today might not be advice tomorrow. But the one thing I've been telling my attorneys is to stop sharing, stop using the share button, because LinkedIn isn't liking it. What LinkedIn wants is original content. So taking the time to craft a post that's essentially what you were going to share is the best way to get views. Specifically, taking the time to add some white space in there. What we want your audience to do is to click that See More button. So even if you just add white space between sentences, that creates the need to click See More, which triggers to LinkedIn that, oh, this post is enough that somebody wants to see more. So I think that's an easy tip if you're already writing original content to just add some white space in there. And then one of the things I've suggested to people that are participating in this like LinkedIn program I did is to kind of partner up or work with others that are in your practice group to whenever you post to let those folks know and have them, you know, like it or comment on it or that kind of thing within the first couple of hours of posting, because that is what's going to trigger the algorithm to be like, oh, somebody really likes this, and, you know, it'll get a lot more views. And so I think partnering up and adding some white space are good starts when you're sharing content.
Yeah, I mean, that Read More button, you're 100% right. That sends a signal, an engagement signal to the LinkedIn algorithm. And so the more engagement your posts have, the more impressions it will get. So you're 100% right. And also right about, you know, engaging with that post within the first couple of hours. Actually, within that first hour is the most powerful. Whatever engagement that post gets within that first hour, the more impressions that post will get. So you're 100% right. One more question about content on LinkedIn. What should the substance of the content be? Because I see a lot of lawyers and firms that are posting a lot of information about them, their awards, and any kind of what I would call more firm-centric promotional information, and not so much thought leadership content. What do you think in terms of how much of each type of content should you be posting?
It is so tough, right? Because if you're at a law firm, you have two avenues to push out content on LinkedIn. You have your firm's LinkedIn account, which is constantly pushing out, you know, events and alerts and things like that. But we all know that a personal account is going to get more play than a firm account. So, I mean, I think that's just So I'm going to respond to this question as if I'm, you know, posting this from an individual professional's perspective and say that folks should be more focused on sharing actual content that's relevant for their audience. And so that might be sharing that this legislation just came out. This is why it's important to you. You know, and then closing with, you know, I'm happy to answer like any questions, or tagging people in that post that you know also care about that cause, or, you know, would have helpful things to say about it. I get all of my LinkedIn scoop from Samantha McKenna at SamSales. And so I think the last alert that I read from her said, like, we should all be following the 80-20 rule, where we should be pushing out like 80% of kind of thought leadership or whatever type of content that is directed at, you know, growing your business into that audience for that. And then 20% should be, you know, sharing about like an event that you're going to be speaking at or anything along, you know, those lines. I probably would not recommend attorneys to share a ton about the fact that they got super lawyers. I don't care.
And the clients don't really care either.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I think the 20% of like advertising would be more towards like, we're hosting this webinar, you know, we'd love for you to come kind of a thing, or a CLE, or, you know, things like that. But otherwise, they should really be focused on sharing content that's relevant to their audience.
Completely agree. All right. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. It's been a fascinating discussion. But before I let you go, what word of advice would you have to our listeners? Anything you want to leave them behind with? Maybe some tips or, you know, some ideas?
I think, like we said at the beginning, taking the time to define who you want to be doing work for, auditing your current clients to see who has the potential for bringing you more work, as well as who could send you work from a referral source standpoint, is really going to lay the groundwork for success. And given where we are in the year, right, we're heading into the fall, which means we're going to be heading into the new year in 5 seconds. So, you know, taking that time to think about all of those bits about outlining the business plan, I think, is going to be really helpful. And then not being scared to ask for referrals, and then hopping on LinkedIn and making sure that your account looks credible, I think, is going to be all the things to lay the groundwork for a good 2023.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for all of your great knowledge and advice. I am sure that our audience really appreciated it. For our audience, if you enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast and you can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Rebecca, thank you again for your time today. It's really been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, and we look forward to having you back sometime in the future.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, to our listeners. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you next time.